All right, on the offensive side of the ball, Josh Allen didn't play. It was a good practice on Thursday, a wet field kind of sort of, and not a lot of warm-up because they had to put the tarp on. I was stunned that they didn't give more time for warm-ups for the players. They went out there, and Sean McDermott said that was also part of it. So we know why. Mitch Trubisky came in. Again, didn't look that great. I mean, he was uncomfortable. He held onto the ball too long. And then ultimately, unfortunately, he got a knee injury. Matt, this is an issue now that the Bills are going to have to start evaluating what they have and what they have to do at backup quarterback.
Yeah, and this won't be a Ben DiNucci type move if there is any sort of significance to this injury. The Bills might need to go find... No, this is not meant to be a disrespect or a knock to Ben DiNucci, but Ben DiNucci is here to be the Bills' third quarterback for the time being and play snaps in the preseason. The Bills now need to find out who is going to be their real backup quarterback. And that's a two-layered conversation, because one part of that is because Mitch Trubisky is injured, and the other part of that is because Mitch Trubisky hasn't been very good when he's needed to play. The obvious name is Ryan Tannehill. But is Ryan Tannehill even feasible or available for what the Bills are going to be willing to pay? They only have so much money, and I don't know if it's the wisest thing in the world to spend that as an insurance policy. Because I'm just of the belief that if Josh Allen gets hurt, your season's done anyway, really. So why go pay $5 million to Ryan Tannehill to try and, you know, tread water if the injury isn't something significant? I just don't know what they're going to do there, because I think they're going to have to go sign somebody this week.
Well, if Josh Allen's hurt long term and, you know, something were to happen to him, of course. But if he was to miss, let's say, four games, you still have to have somebody who you can count on to be able to play. And yeah, I mean, that's an important piece. Let me ask you, would you consider Matt Barkley coming back?
Not as a backup. That's what I thought.
Well, he's not a starter, obviously.
Well, I mean, like, not as the number two quarterback. And I don't think you would just release Ben DiNucci and then have Matt Barkley. I know Matt Barkley knows your system. That's why I thought Matt Barkley made more sense than Ben DiNucci. Like, just go bring Matt Barkley. Yeah. Matt Barkley back. If they would have done that, they would have probably had a little bit more time to figure something out. Like, they could have gone into this preseason game with Barkley and been fine. But if Mitch Trubisky is going to miss this game or potentially into the future, they have to do something. Like, they're not going to have, even if you have Josh Allen play a quarter, you're not going to have Ben DiNucci probably play three quarters. I just don't see that happening.
I think you would.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, this week, to me, there's a different discussion. There's the preseason final week, and then there's the season. Like, I think this week, yeah, sure, you put Ben DiNucci in there, have him hand off to mm-hmm. Frank Gore Jr. I absolutely could see him playing the full game even. Like, I have no problem with that. I think the Bills could do that. You would have to have maybe somebody else in uniform to go out there and do the same thing, you know, if that were to be the case. My issue is what happens in the regular season. You need a legitimate backup quarterback if Mitch Trubisky is injured. And again, this comes down to not for the season, but if Josh were to miss a few games, you got to have somebody come in and be able to steer the ship a little bit. Somebody to me who probably knows the system a little bit. Like I said, like a Matt Barkley. What about if Kyle Allen shakes free from the Steelers? He's there right now. Would you consider bringing him back? Because maybe he says, I can go to Buffalo and be number two instead of being on a practice squad. I think what ultimately the Bills would probably do here, Matt, is wait until final cuts to see who's around and then say, this is a guy that we like, get some familiarity with whatever coach on staff that we've seen him before. Mm-hmm. And then you make DiNucci number two. And then that guy comes in as your three until you kind of have to swap roles or something else happens or Trubisky gets back. I think that's how you have to play it out, because to me, there's two separate. I don't think there's an issue with having Ben DiNucci play the full game on Saturday if they have to.
Do you think there's an issue of having Mitch Trubisky as your backup quarterback, even if he's healthy?
It's a good question. The Bills have to decide that, because he has not looked great. I think the Bills would have more faith. Do you remember last year? The same thing happened to Kyle Allen. The Bills never moved on from him.
Yeah, I know. I know, but it's also the circumstance that they don't have a ton of money and a ton of wiggle room, because you've got a pretty stacked roster, a pretty fill roster. So it's how much are you willing to invest in that spot? It was the same thing as Case Keenum a couple of years ago. It was like, okay, Case Keenum doesn't look good. It was the same thing with Kyle Allen. The only outlier was Mitch Trubisky. In his first stint in Buffalo in the preseason, he looked really good. And you were like, okay, like, hey, Bill's got a backup quarterback now. So I think the Kyle Allen name you said is the one to keep an eye on, because if you're the Steelers and you keep Russ and you keep J. Justin Fields and you try and have Kyle Allen on your practice squad, the Bills might be like, well, nope, for right now, they take him. He becomes their backup. Ben DiNucci becomes their practice squad quarterback. So that's probably the most likely scenario that happens, but that would require waiting a week and a half.
All right. Elsewhere on the offense, much better day running the football. Three different running backs average over 5 yards a carry, including Ray Davis over 7 yards a carry. Whereas as the running backs last week, under 2 yards a carry total, much better running the football. I loved what I saw, especially from Ray Davis.
Yep.
But it calms me down a little bit about the way they ran the football much better.
Yeah, Ray Davis looks good. Davis, I think, has a pretty decent sized role on this team. Now, you were at the joint practice in Pittsburgh. I came down the next day, but I was talking to one of our colleagues, Dan Fates from 13 Wham in Rochester, Buffalo Plus, and he told me Ray Davis was one of the most impressive players during that joint practice because of the way that he was catching balls out of the backfield and how he was just running routes and looked like a wide receiver. And we kind of saw his ability in the passing game in the first preseason game, but in that game, we didn't see the rushing ability. Well, in this game, we saw the rushing ability. And then when you combine that with all of the opportunities we've seen from him in the summer catching the football, the skill set is nice. And I mean, he runs with juice. Mm-hmm. You can just tell when guys run like that, and he's got a way of running about him where I do think that he will be absolutely the primary backup to James Cook. I think he'll have a different skill set. Like Ty Johnson is going to play. Ty Johnson, I think, is going to be their short yardage situational guy who can also, you know, pick up blitzes and can help you occasionally in the passing game. But I think Ray Davis has a path to seeing the field pretty often.
Ray Davis is going to be 25 years old. You know what his full name is? You know his full name?
I do not.
Okay. Raymond Walter Zamar Jamar Davis.
Wow. Well, Ray. So Ray Davis. Ray. I love it. It's there like you go. It's like Eddie Ulofosio.
Yeah, there you go. You got it. You got
it. That's Eddie.
All right, let's before we wrap up here, nice short. It's always game day in Buffalo. Thanks for being with us, by the way, wherever you pod, on audio, also on video, at Sal Sports on the YouTube page. So, Keon Coleman, a lot being made of the play in the end zone. Again, only one catch for 12 yards. Mm-hmm. Receivers, really, I mean, this goes back to the Trubisky point, so we don't have to, you know, necessarily get too deep on it. But just on Coleman himself, are you at all concerned about Keon Coleman at this point after two preseason games, both of which he had balls thrown his way in the end zone, three of them now that he didn't come up with?
Okay, I think both of these things can be true, and they don't necessarily, they're not like mutually exclusive of each other. Keon Coleman should have made that catch. And I'm not that worried about Keon Coleman, considering Josh Allen has thrown three passes in the preseason. I still think that Keon Coleman has a good sized role on this team and has a skill set the Bills will be able to take advantage of. And I also think that he should have made the catch for Mitch Trubisky, even knowing it wasn't a great throw. What I posted yesterday, if Josh Allen throws that ball, everybody is saying he needs to make that catch. Keon Coleman needs to make this catch. But Trubisky does not get the benefit of the doubt the same way Josh Allen does, because he's not Josh Allen and because he was not playing well. So immediately when that play happens, everybody's like, huh, better throw, and that's an easy touchdown. Well, it's like, yeah, true, but also that's your highest drafted player this year who is supposed to be able to do things like that. So should have made that catch. Not that concerned at all about his future outlook. I think that he needs time on task with Josh Allen, and Josh Allen has not had time on task with anybody in actual preseason games.
All right, so we are going to hear today, Matt and I, by the way, Matt and I are recording this today, this podcast. It is Monday. It's about 9 a.m. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later. He's going to touch on injuries. So let's just wrap up real quickly on some of the injuries. We talked about Trubisky. We don't know where that's going to go. Marquez Valdez-Scantling left the game, neck injury. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reported on Sunday, x-rays negative. We'll see where that goes. But it is something to monitor, especially, of course, because of the wide receiver depth chart and where that stands. Austin Johnson, defensive tackle, left the game with a calf. Tight end Quentin Morris left the game with a shoulder, and Javon Solomon left the game with a calf. I will tell you, on all three of those, Matt, they were all on the sidelines in uniform at the end of the game. So I think I'm encouraged by that, but we'll see where everything goes.
Can I ask you one thing to wrap up, and then we'll talk more about this later this week? If the injury to MVS is anything that's more than like a day, you know, a couple days or a couple weeks, with, you know, who knows? Is there a chance this team keeps five wide receivers and four tight ends? Because I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
I brought this possibility up a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to tell you, even though I brought it up a couple of weeks ago, I'm leaning towards no.
You don't think it's possible?
Is it a possibility? Yes. Uh-huh. I think it's much less likely than I believed it would have been a couple of weeks ago.
I just wonder who in the wide receiver room has proven that they definitely deserve a spot after the top four, and the top four being
nobody.
That's what I mean. So if it's Khalil,
but has Zach Davidson proved he definitely needs a spot?
More than Tyrell Shavers,
who I disagree. I think Tyrell Shavers has earned a spot on this roster. I shouldn't say that definitive. I think that the way they've treated him compared to Zach Davidson, even though Davidson has flashed, Tyrell Shavers to me is much more firmly on this roster.
I think so too. I don't disagree with you. I just don't know if I agree with it. I agree with the idea. Like, I think there's a better chance Tyrell Shavers makes the roster than Zach Davidson, but I think Zach Davidson has had a more impressive. It's hard to compare them because Tyrell Shavers has probably done more, but Zach Davidson has had bigger moments.
But I mean, your question is, what do you think they're going to do? And not what you would do, Matt Bove. It's what do you think they're going to do? And to me, I think there's way more chance Tyrell Shavers is on this roster than Zach Davidson.
I mean, Tyrell Shavers had an exceptional training camp, given who he, you know, where he was drafted and, you know, the situation. And he's had two catches in the preseason. And he's had a lot of time on the field. It's not like this has just been.
But Matt, he's also a gunner.
Yeah, no, I know. And Zach Davidson doesn't have a special teams role, although they've tried him there to see if maybe he could. Their biggest play the other day was Zach Davidson. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying he was on the receiving end of their literally biggest play of the night.
I still think he's the fourth tight end.
Yeah, Quentin Morris. The
fifth receiver on this team is way more firm than the fourth tight end.
I think, because I think they're going to use a lot of 12 personnel.
I do too.
And then that becomes an interesting question of, is there a path to the field more often as a depth tight end or as the fifth wide receiver? Like, when is special teams aside, which I know is a big factor here, when is Tyrell Shavers getting on the field?
I don't know, but I don't know if Zach Davidson would. I don't care how much 12 personnel you run. No, he's the fourth tight end.
Yeah, I know. And then the MVS thing is interesting because it's, well, if he's injured, you could maybe start him on IR and have four right. games off. And like, then you have a little bit more flexibility.
I think, and listen, the biggest unfortunate, the way to say this, benefactor of MVS might be KJ Hamler because he's a field stretcher. Mm-hmm. I know he's not the body type, but maybe that's it could be Andy Isabella. I know it's a different role, but maybe that's where your other receiver comes from. It's a great question you pose, though, about what if MVS is hurt a little more long-term? Like, mm-hmm. do they keep another receiver? I think that's more likely than keeping a fourth tight end. That's my bottom line.
And then I guess my issue with that, even though I agree with you, is I don't think anybody else that they would be keeping would have earned a spot more than Zach Davidson, right? Like, if they keep KJ Hamler, if they keep... I was going to say Chase Claypool, but he's not even here anymore.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be Justin Shorter.
Damir Bird, right? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Andy Isabella. Zach Davidson had a good summer. Like, Zach Davidson has done everything that he needed to do and will still probably just end up on the practice squad. Totally fair. You can get that guy to your practice squad. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. But I also think you can get KJ Hamler to your practice squad. And I also think you can get Andy Isabella to your practice squad.
You can. It'll be interesting how all this shakes out. We do have a couple weeks left. Still have another game Saturday against the Carolina Panthers. It's Kids Day, by the way, Saturday, 1 p.m. inside Highmark Stadium. All right, Matt and I are going to take off now, but we'll have another episode a little bit later this week of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, wherever you pod, on the audio side, and of course, see our smiling faces at the South Sports YouTube channel. All right, Matt, I'll catch up with you at practice this week.